Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him and say that we love Him. Open our ears, Lord, and help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him and say that we love Him. Open us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus.
Push the button. Thank you, Vicky. Beautiful as always. I'm going to start trying to make more eye contact with everybody. So I'm going to practice right now. Remember who's here and who I'm speaking to. We're going to look at faith tonight. How salvation looks through faith. And how works look through faith. If you want to turn to Luke 23, 32 through 43, these are going to be the first set of scriptures we're going to look into. And while you turn there, this is the living word of God, active. We're going to be looking at three men hung on crosses. And we're going to go there today. This happened then, but we have this account so we can be there today. And this is where Jesus was crucified for our sins, the freshly slain lamb. And I want you to be there, and we'll use everybody in the crowd as the scribes and the chief priest. We got a couple women of faith over here and one man. So there's John and all the women that were there that day that did believe in Jesus as their Savior. But we have one in the middle, our Savior Jesus. And we have one on each side. So the scriptures start. There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. We're witnesses today to this event. This is where we go when we read the word. We're there. We're being witness to it. I want everybody in here too. It says one on the left and one on the right. So where is the criminal on the left? Point to him, please. Okay. Where'd you point, Vicky? Okay. So the three participants that I had here all pointed to their left. And what I saw just quickly while I opened this up is that that's the wrong perspective. You're not wrong. But the perspective is from Christ. All doctrine is from Christ's perspective. And when we read the word, we have to be very careful not to look at it from our perspective, but for Christ. So the thief on the left, well, I'm lucky here because I'm facing this direction. This is the thief on the left. This is the thief on the right. So when we read the word, we have to be very careful, not what we think or feel the word means, but what God tells us. And God tells me this is his word, and he is Jesus, and it says on the left and the right. So it's from Jesus' perspective, not ours. Be careful not to conform God into our image, but to allow him to conform us into his. And right off the jump, we have prophecy. And in this study, I'm really growing to love prophecy. I study the New Testament over and over and over, and I study the Old. And it's all pointing to this cross right here, from the beginning to the end. All points to this man hanging directly behind me in the center, this God, this Jesus. But Isaiah 53:12 tells us this is going to happen, and it happened. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. He bore both men's sin that day. One, we're going to find out, believed. The other didn't. Mark 15:28, so the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Jesus and two other criminals. He was numbered with them. And so in this study, too, with prophecy, and this is my opinion. You search the scriptures. You find out what you feel and what you believe. I don't see a need for prophecy the way I see it in people I know and have witnessed in the last few years of my following Christ. Prophecy is all about the substance of Christ. It's God saying what's going to happen, and then it happens. You know, in the Old Testament, if a prophet would speak a word to God and say he was a prophet, and one word fell to the ground and didn't come to happen, he was to be stoned. And it saddens me. It scares me. You know, I hear people speaking prophetic words over people's lives. You need to go do that. That's not prophecy. Prophecy never came from the will of man. So if your will's involved in what you need to do, what you think is a prophecy in your life, it's not it. It's not it. And this is what I believe. I've just been looking in Corinthians, and I asked God, too. I said, if you're still using this, I expect you to show me. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm fine with that. But today, I don't see a use. I have the completed word of God that tells a story from the beginning to the end. So that was just a little side note. I'm not really getting into that tonight. But I do like we have the three men on the three crosses, and Jesus in the center made the intercession. And these two criminals on the left and on the right represent all of humanity and our choices for salvation and walking in faith. There's life and there's death. He paid for sins for everybody. It's either to receive the free gift or not. And one did that day and one didn't. That's the only question for salvation, to believe that he died there for you. And eternal life. I have a tendency to think of, well, because I know why I think of my eternal life's in heaven, but eternal life's for all creation. Every man that was created, the soul is going to live for eternity. We were made in God's image. So this decision, this question that these two thieves were both offered, and we are too because we're witnesses today to this situation, is where we will spend all of our eternity. And it only depends on our willingness to receive this free gift of grace. So as we go on through the scriptures, we had the picture painted that I painted, okay? Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. The thief heard this. Both thieves heard this. And this is the power of God. No greater love than this is to lay down one's life. This is the power of God in action at the cross where Jesus hung and died for our sins. And to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. But to those who are not, it's foolishness. Like we'll see with the thief on the one side, the other side. I lost track of which one's which. The forgiveness of sins. Sin what has always been and always will be the issue for unbelievers. For a believer, it is no longer the issue. And forgiveness is the answer. This is the power of God. Whether it's someone else's sin we need to forgive or the sin that we need to repent from, this keeps us out of fellowship. So sin is always the issue, and sin is no longer the issue. Sin has always been the issue until salvation. Now sin is taken off the board because there is no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ. And they divided his garments and cast lots. And I love the prophecy, because the more I read the New Testament, the Old Testament, and Terry and Ty and Scott, you guys always pull the old, and it's all the same story. It's amazing. It really is the same story. I used to think, like, oh, you can't read the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament because I'm just reading the New Testament before it happened. And they divided and cast his lots. I didn't bother to look. We're not going into all the old verses here. And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." I can hear the Lord. I can hear his response. "You wicked and adulterous generation, you seek a sign, and none shall be given except of the prophet Jonah. Repent." Jonah spent 3 days in a fish. Jesus is going to spend 3 days in the ground before he is resurrected. They were willing to believe if Jesus did. This isn't how faith works. "Do this, Lord, and we'll believe you're God." It's not how faith works. Faith is unseen. Did I even open up with that verse? Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." As Mom said, the assurance of it. Great message too, Mother. If you haven't listened to my mom's messages, I highly suggest you do. So yeah, Lord, you do this, then we'll believe you. I mean, I see that in my own personal life too, a lot. It's not faith. "Lord, I'll do that if you just show me." He doesn't want that. He wants me to believe him, and then he'll do it. "And then the soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.' And in the inscription also was written over him in Greek, in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, 'This is the king of the Jews.' Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.'" And in Matthew, we have an account where both criminals did this. They both started off bad that day. They started their whole lives off wrong, and they had an opportunity to meet their Savior. Like, even the sovereignty of God that gave both of these men this opportunity, that their whole lives led up to being crucified, they're going to suffer today, and they have an opportunity to accept Christ as their Savior. Yeah, Matthew 27:41-44. They said the same thing, but it says, "Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same things." "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Have you heard Jesus tell you this in your life today? That you will be with him in heaven, paradise? I want to hear this every day. Whether I was saved 20 years ago, or maybe under this message, if God willing, if you're not, that you become saved tonight. And what a gift that would be for all of us. Every day, we should hear our Lord saying, today, because every day we have to admit our wickedness to him. And he comforts me and assures me and says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise. Today is the day of your salvation, Greg." Every day, this isn't something that happens once in your life. It happens over and over. And this has been a lot of discussion I've had with people in my life about, when were you saved? I want to hear your something. And there's some believers I know are saved that don't remember the day, but they have it today. They have the assurance of their salvation today. They know that God says, if you go today, you're coming with me. Yeah, the thief rebuked the other one. He didn't start off that way, but then he did. Then it happened. I love those three words in the Bible. Then this is how God works. So then it happened. It's not a long, drawn-out process. It's not, I'm going to work really hard to get there. Then it happens. I met Jesus on the road to Aliquippa. Then it happened. My life was changed from that point on. Same with that thief. He saw Jesus' innocence. He saw his own guilt or his own sin. And by doing these simple acknowledgments, he allowed God to give him the opportunity to receive his righteousness by simply believing. Yeah, and after, when did you? I want to hear your story of redemption. I want the assurance of everybody in my life. I want the assurance of your faith. I want it for you. I want to sleep well knowing that I know you're going to be in the kingdom of heaven with me. And unfortunately, I don't have that for everybody in my life. Psalms 107, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. I dare you to read that chapter and not find your story in there. And if you don't, test yourself. Know that you're in the faith, that Christ dwells in you. Because I'm pretty sure that chapter covers everybody. I can relate to the whole thing, but maybe just one part of it. Yeah, one repented, one didn't. Faith is what happened here, the unseen. Jesus replied, said today. He wouldn't have said that if the thief didn't believe it. He gave him the assurance while he was on the cross. I used to think, too, that the thief, when he died, no fruits of righteousness ever happened in his life. He died, and he went to heaven with God. All the fruit of his righteousness of faith is still being poured out through all generations. We're reading it tonight. This is being accounted to this thief's righteousness through Christ. I love the grace of God. It takes nothing. Faith is a little bit more than nothing, but it is everything we have. It's the only thing we have. It's been faith in what Christ did on that cross for us. And seeing wasn't believing for this thief that day. Seeing is never believing. The others wanted to see, and then they would believe. There's no point. Even if Christ would have done it, they wouldn't have, because that's not how faith happens. If Christ would have came off that cross, that other thief still would have ended up in eternity in hell. This faith doesn't happen by seeing. And I love this. This is why this account's in here, because it's such a pure act of faith to an undeserving man. And it's one moment, and it's going to be accounted to him. The souls that are saved from this account are going to be accounted to this man for all eternity. It's beautiful. Everything he saw was contrary to this man being his savior. But he knew this man claimed to be Jesus. Everybody knew who Jesus was. Everybody knew he claimed to be the Son of God. And there were many there that were zealous for God. And this is a thought that I had, one of the greatest, I call it a disagreement, but man, it was encouraging. I had a conversation with Ty about what I thought this message was going to be, and it's not. But I want to give you the thought. That I don't think there's anybody going to be surprised when they get into heaven. That thief on the cross sure is what, I'm about to say, hell. That thief wasn't surprised when he got there. And Ty says, look, the grace of God, the mercy of God, they had that one moment, but then they thought they had to work for it to maintain it. Doesn't mean they weren't saved. But we discussed, and all we used was, we didn't give our opinions. We gave our perspective from the Word of God. And it was one of the most edifying disagreements I've ever had. And neither of us convinced the other. That wasn't our job. Our job isn't to convince you of what I believe. My job is to give you the doctrine. That's all our job, is to give people the doctrine, what God says from his perspective. Oh, yeah. So this thief, the one that was saved, asked, only that you remember me, Lord. He wanted Christ's life. The other thief said, why don't you save yourself? And he was so humble. He said, save both of us. He was so worried about the other thief, too. But he wanted his own life back. The other thief knew what he was getting was he was deserved of. And I just see the two. To lose your life is to gain his. We have to lose our life to find his. And the one thief was willing to do that. The other wasn't. He wanted saved so he can spend it on his pleasures. I have no doubt. No doubt. But yeah, there's only them two accounts. And those words, depart from me for I never knew you. There's many there that day that were going to hear this because they had a zeal for God, but not according to the knowledge of the power of God in this cross. And I want you to consider that. I want you to look into it. That I have two accounts of salvation. And I know after the cross, but during that day when the power of God was at work, two accounts of salvation were given. Yeah, so knowing these facts doesn't get you there, but believing it. And flesh and blood did not reveal this to this man. Like I said, it was contrary. Flesh and blood, this Jesus looked way worse than he did. Guarantee it. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to me. And I can hear Jesus, I can hear God asking both of these men the same question in Matthew 16, 15 through 17. And he said to them, but who do you say I am? He asked both of these men that day, who do you say I am? The one robber answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, just like Simon Bar-Jonah did. The other didn't. Jesus answered and said to that thief, blessed are you, criminal on a cross, for flesh and blood, the way I look right now, did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And this gift of faith, the faith to believe it is from God. Nothing of ourselves. It's given to us. We just have to be willing and know our wickedness and know his sinlessness. They're both gifts from God. Salvation and faith. So when we ask God, when we knock, when we plea and beg, do we come to him in our prayers for our salvation? We'll look at it in faith, but I think it still relates. Remember me, Lord. I just want your life. My prayers aren't based on my life anymore. They're based on his life. Just you remember me. You see me struggling? Remember me, Lord. I'm willing to lose this life so I can gain yours. It's such a pure act of faith. And that's why it's in the Word of God, because there's not many accounts of faith like this where everything. That's why there's only two accounts that day, because everything told him contrary. And I know many were saved after. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. The thief asked, that's all we did, remember me. And God is going to answer that every time. And faith is a little more than nothing at all, but it is our everything. He was persuaded by God that this was his Savior. And for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, that is a gift of God. For the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. Jesus, and I also like, too, in the scripture, that Jesus died before the two criminals. They killed, what did they do, knock his knees out, their legs out, so they would die faster. Then they went to Jesus. So the thief that believed heard it was finished. He heard him yell, tetelestai. And I have no doubt that thief was full of joy, dying in his last breath. He gave his last breath. That's what he gave. His faith was his last breath. A little more than nothing, but it was everything to him. He gave some of his last breath to ask Jesus to remember him. So now we have a new scene. We're going to look at faith working in a believer. And now we're at the temple, and there's the treasury, and it's in the back corner back there. And Jesus is watching the money basket, and everybody put it in. I want to be clear, too, that this part, what I want to share isn't about money, but if it is for you, consider it. I didn't write the verses down. I know it's Mark. Where's the widow at the Mark 12, 13? I know we just studied it. Now, Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put the money into the treasury. He sat away from it. He observes, and we should be doing the same thing. He's waiting and watching for faith, and we should be doing the same thing. We should be able to see these things. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which makes a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, I love this too. Jesus is over here. The money basket's over there. And what you say, Scott, that they got their donkey carts full of money. They're lavishly showing off what they're putting in there, just like my dad does with all his giving. I really don't know of a more gracious giver than you, Dad. It's a blessing to me. Let me buy lunch. But he didn't address the woman. He didn't address those people. But he called his disciples off into the distance with himself. He wasn't going to reward this woman here and now. He's going to wait for eternity for that. He's going to take care of her and her needs because she seeks first the kingdom of righteousness. And all these things will be provided for. She gave her last amounts of money to the kingdom of God. And she was provided for. But her reward wasn't for Jesus to make a spectacle of her. He said, disciples, come over here. Let me show you what I'm seeing here. And when he called them to himself, he said, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had. Her whole livelihood. Oh, Mark 12, 41 through 44. I did have the verses. Like I said, you know, you can look at the money, and maybe that's an issue that I need to deal with, or you do. But I'm looking at she put in all she had, her whole livelihood. She put in her care. Her cares of this world, her trust. She put it all into God's, well, lack of better words, heavenly bank. This is where she put her trust. Her earthly substance, she gave it to the Lord. And I just love that he said, no, I'm going to show you what she's doing over there, and she's not even going to know I'm watching. But she will someday. Oh, I can't look at you. When she comes to the kingdom of heaven, just like this thief, the righteousness is going to be given to their account through Christ because of the pure acts of faith that they had. They did nothing. And she gave two pennies. I don't know what two. I didn't even look into it. I know it's nothing. He gave his last breaths. And these accounts made it into the Word of God so that we can grow from faith to faith from these accounts. It's a beautiful thing how he does that, how he gives the increase. Time doesn't limit God's righteousness. They passed on, but the act of faith that they had in those moments, that thief in his last breath, those two pennies, work out. Time does not limit it just because they're not here no more, because it was Christ that did it, and Christ endures forever. So Christ did that through these two willing spirit people, and that's going to go on through eternity and be given to their account. Now look at this thief and this woman. Does your faith compare to this? I want mine to. I really do. He had nothing left to give but a few breaths from his lungs. And every breath he took was one closer to the end. Speaking words probably exponentially grew that quicker. She gave all she had. And I can see this woman, too, with her head covered, like she should have at that time, just sneaking into the back rooms. Nobody even noticed her but the one that mattered, which was Jesus. It's not about our abundance. It's not about what... He knows what we have, and he expects us to give it all. He wants us to give it all. He's not going to make us do it, but he wants us to give it all. Everything we have, down to our bank accounts, to the breath of our lungs. Okay, I can put this much money in the account, but I'm keeping this other money just in case. Wrong. Well, I'm gonna praise God Sunday mornings, and I'm going to give my Bible time in the morning, but the rest of the day, my lungs are for me. Wrong. He wants all of it. Ask and it will be given. This is where I want to start asking from. Associating myself with the thief and this widow. That I have nothing to offer, God. And I need you to do it. And I believe that you will. This is where I want to keep my association with myself. Or do I just, like I said, do I give from my abundance? And he doesn't expect me to empty out my bank account. That's ludicrous. Maybe he would call me to do that, and I should. But it's where my heart is with it. Would I if he did? And he knows. He already knows the answer. I can't hide it from him. No, we're getting there, people. Yeah, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And by doing the first, you will complete the commandments till the last. This is what he wants. This is what he wants from us. And he wants to do this so he can give us him. When we do this, all of heaven opens up and pours out into us. What up? What for what more shall I say of faith being a little more than nothing but our everything? For time would fail me to tell you of the man with the withered hand in Mark 12, the woman of Canaan and her demon-possessed daughter in Matthew 15, the father of the child that got thrown into the water and the fire in Mark 9, blind Bartimaeus in Mark 10, the two blind men and the woman with the flow of blood in Matthew 9, the centurion servant and the son of the widow in Nain. Of Nain in Luke 7, the leper being cleansed in Matthew 8, the paralytic in Mark 2, the 12 disciples forsaking all and following their Savior Jesus through faith were healed and saved, saw the loved ones healed and saved. And I love Scott, and I agree 1,000% that every healing and miracle was salvation. This is what faith did for them and the people they loved. Just believing in Christ. I believe. Help my unbelief. That's enough. It's a mustard seed. It's what direction is pointed. I believe in you, Christ. I don't have it. Yeah, the 12 disciples. And through faith, partook in the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of you and me. None of these did nothing of themselves, but did the work of God by believing in Jesus, who the Father sent, by faith. Speaking of that mustard seed and that mulberry tree. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Luke 17, 6. Is it mulberry trees God is concerned about? Or does he say it all together for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he who believes should believe in the hope of Christ. Hope in the finished, completed work on his cross. It is finished. Tetelestai. The work is done. Our job is to believe him and his word. He who knows where to put his faith, the will of God will work out through his life. A mustard seed. I can still see Jesus saying to the thief, since you believed with that mustard seed of faith, I will pull you up from the roots of the pit in hell. And plant you in my living waters in the kingdom of heaven. This is what a mustard seed of faith does. It takes a thief that asked nothing more than to be remembered and exceedingly abundantly was given way more than he asked. He was given the righteousness of God that day, just like we are as believers. Search these things. Look at all those examples. These are just pure examples of faith, of nothing of the people but of Christ. And be tested. Test yourself. Be willing to be tested in your faith. Faith is unseen. It has to be tested. There's no other way to see. You can't see if you have it, so it has to be tested. Don't run from the test. And you know what they are in your life, I'm sure. I know which ones mine are. So that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy 5:24 and 25, I like how I saw this with the thief and the widow. It starts off saying, "By some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them into judgment. but those of some men follow later. Likewise. Likewise is the word I want you to focus on there. The good works of some are clearly evident, and those that are otherwise cannot be hidden. Some men's sins are clearly evident. Outward sins are evident for all. I see them, you see them, we all see them. And they go before us. People witness them. But the inward sins are the scary ones that I don't want to get to the judgment seat of Christ and then have them revealed to me. I want to get them right now. But then I saw the good works. It says likewise. So likewise, the same scenario. Let's put good works in here. Some men's good works are clearly evident, preceding them into judgment. We just know. We see it. But then there's the some. Then there's the widow and the thief. I mean, Matthew told the account, didn't even see it. Matthew was, I don't know where Matthew was, but he was off in the distance. He wasn't there. Preceding them into judgment, but the good works of some follow later. And I see the thief, and I see the widow. They did really good works because they offered nothing and believed solely in the Son of God, Jesus. Yeah, consider these things. With your faith, personally, with the people you care about. Look, ask for opportunities to share the truth with them if they don't know it. If you're not assured of it, get it. Get it from them. Squeeze it out of them. Make them tell you every day till they tell you the truth if they don't. One with a couple verses here. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. This cross, it's God's love. He did it for us, so we wouldn't have to, by simply believing. Believing what? That Jesus is the Son of God and that he is our Savior. Whom us having not seen, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressibly and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Do you walk in this every day? The salvation? Do you wake up just thankful to God you're saved, eternally secure, knowing you did nothing for it? I hope you do, because this is the designed Christian life. It's not supposed to be dark and dreary. It's not. It's supposed to be full of joy, inexpressible, full of glory. These are the words he tells us. Is your life inexpressible? Can I look at you and say, I can't even explain how happy they are. They just have something I want, and it's Christ. That's how people should see us as Christians. Claim to be Christians and I walk around mopey and walk around acting like others. I'm not a light for the world. I should have a joy in me that's undeniable to others. And the thief did. He received the end at the end of his life, the salvation of his soul. But us having received it whenever we received it, we have a whole life to get this right and trust God. And learn these things and study these things and meditate on these things. I love when I get to prepare because I look into the Word. I realize how off I am when I'm not preparing for a message. And I'm reading all day, miles away from where I am this week, because this is all I think about. It comes out in every conversation I have. I said something last night, too. I'll just end with this last thought. That I can see it. I can see people in my life. Some are drawn to me, but some are pushed away because all I want to do is talk about the Word. And some people don't want to do that. I don't have concerns with this world. I don't want to talk about it. And they see my disinterest, and I just keep talking about the Word, and they fade away a little bit. And that's fine. That's fine. That's still my job. I'm not here to please man. I'm here to please God. So, faith. Have it like a mustard seed, and it will be increased to you for all eternity. Thank you.
Whoa. Love it. Vicky? Thank you, Father, for this message that came today, the purity of it, the simplicity of it, that it would mean so much to us in terms of what you require, nothing more than a mustard seed of precious faith from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's his faith, the faith of the Son of God, not even in him, but of him and from him. We just thank you for these things in Jesus' name.
Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear by the living word of God, I shall prevail. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. I bound to him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily through the Spirit's sword. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fall. Yeah, I'm listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all and all. Yeah, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing. Standing on the promises of God.